Good morning. What a great time it is to be here, to see everyone here smiling. Thank you for just suffering the weather. Looks like it cleared up a bit, but let's stand and join in singing the first song, Blessed Be Thy Name, and it's going to be up on the screen, lyrics, so. Amen, amen, yeah. Yeah, amen. You know, in that, I don't know, remember the verse exactly, but it said, all the blessings you pour out, we turn and praise you. So we need to keep that in mind. Everything that's given to us or taken away from us even, we go back to God and say thank you. Thank you for all you continue to do in our lives. And as we sing the next song, let's just continue to remember that. Next song being God of the City. I was going to share a verse here. It's kind of in honor to this past Tuesday was the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. It's marked when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church door of Wittenberg, and that's basically what started the Protestant Reformation. This is one of the verses he focused on in challenging the Catholic Church. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Remind you, what it means is just, there's nothing we can do. All that we can do is just believe in Christ Jesus. Let's join in singing the last song, 10,000 Reasons. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, and we just thank you for being able to gather here together as a community and as a congregation to worship you. We ask that we have a special blessing over this service. May we open up our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear the words, to understand them, and that we may grow upon them. May we continue to believe in you and going out and spreading your love in all of our lives, our families, our friends, our work communities, and wherever we go. We just ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. Briefly highlight a couple of announcements before we continue this time of praise and worship. Today is our charge conference at 3 p.m. We will be meeting at Hayes Memorial United Methodist Church at 3. And so if you are a member here of Trinity, we would invite you to be a part of that and come on out and take part in our annual church charge conference. And today also we are continuing the confirmation class. We took a break last week because of Trunk or Treat, and so they are resuming the confirmation class at Faith United Methodist Church. And so if you have kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews in the confirmation class, make sure that they are at Faith by 4 p.m., and they will finish up by 6 p.m. tonight. On the back of your bulletin, you'll want to notice this, November 19th, which is 2 weeks from today. We had a joint leadership team meeting on Wednesday evening between Faith and Trinity, and we have decided that we will go down there on November 19th and have a joint worship service with a brunch to follow. And so circle that date. Now, before you go further, on December 3rd, Faith will be coming up here, and we will be having a potluck after the service here. And so, you know, basically we need to get to know one another. We need to get to know our brothers and sisters. It's crazy, they're half a mile down the road and you would think they're three states away. And so on the 19th of November, we will have individuals here to make sure, but we will have no Sunday school. And for the Truth Seekers class, I am looking to make arrangements that you guys can meet down there at Faith on the 19th. And so that's already on my heart, so I'll just, you know, share that up front. But the rest of the Sunday school classes will be canceled. We will have children's church down there. We're just going to simply take our nursery and children's church down there, and then basically run things that way. So if you have questions about the 19th, please see me. You can talk with Charlene, you can talk with Valerie Miller, any questions, but make note of the time change. We will be mailing out a postcard next week, so no services here in 2 weeks. You're good, Joanna. You're just running ahead of me. You're further down the road than I am. So you're okay. So just make note, November the 19th, we will be worshiping jointly at Faith United Methodist Church, and the service time will be 9:30 to 10:30 with a brunch luck, whatever you want to call it, potluck, brunch luck, whatever, immediately following the service. And so we invite you to bring a dish to share, as they will be doing the same as well. On that same day, the junior high, the Serving with a Major Purpose, and I think we've got a slide, they will be having a bowling party, and from 1 to 3 p.m., and you can see if you have junior hires, there's a registration on our website. Go to www.gibsonburgtrinity.org, and you can register your junior hires there for a bowling party from 1 to 3 p.m. on that same day. We've got a lot of things going on, so I would invite you to read the rest of the announcements, the 26th, the Hanging of the Greens. If anyone is in need or knows of anyone in need of a Thanksgiving basket, you can see Tina Shields and make sure that they get on the list there. We have a rummage sale coming up to benefit Nicole Eiler and the post-surgery expenses, and then Operation Christmas Child is ongoing as well. So make note of those other announcements, and as God's Spirit leads, may you be a part in that as well. Let's go ahead and dismiss Children's Church. For those in kindergarten through fourth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you, and may we turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
Our reading today is in the book of Genesis, which you can find on page 6 of our pew Bibles. We're going to go over chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." This is our reading from the Word of God. May the ushers please come forward for offering.
We thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. We placed on your altar, Father, this morning just a portion of those blessings. We ask, Father, that you bless these tithes and offerings of your people. Bless them and multiply them in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning, something a little different, and I want to take a few moments and share how God has ministered to you in this building over the years. I'll say it this way. How has God met you in Trinity United Methodist Church over the years? Nick, you can stay back there and just take the mic. Please share.
Okay. I've actually sort of grew up in this church. I mean, during my parents' divorce, we split, went from church here, and then I went to a church in Elmore. And I remember going to Sunday school here. I wasn't always here, but I went through VBS. I went through different youth groups, so I don't know. Some of you probably recognize me. You have helped raise me in a way. I went through just a lot of different outreach programs here. There was Coffee House, there was just all these different activities that I look to and I can say, yeah, I was here. I was here for that. Trinity helped me with that. Scott Danner, many of you know him. He was actually probably the first significant individual that sparked my relationship with Christ, and that was then continued to grow with Fritz and other people. But it's just I guess to sum it up, it's just all the youth programs have impacted me in such a way that I've accepted my call. So I owe a lot to this church.
Thank you. So how has God ministered to you through Trinity?
I would say that I am, I think, 17 years, maybe 18 years here. But I would say I was lost. And I had searched high and low for the church. And I walked in here, and I knew I was home. And I knew that this was my family. And I could say, Norma Kennedy, Bernice Conrad, Nella Willison, all those, Anita James, Mary Ann, Howard, all of you people were my family. And I knew I was home, and I love this church. And I love my family. And I don't care if we go to Timbuktu. As long as my family is with me, we'll be okay. Because once we're family, we're always family.
Okay. Someone else. How have you met God, Rachel?
For me, it was, probably a lot of people know this, Vacation Bible School. Many years ago, the first reason I came in this door was because my babysitter of my kids brought my kids to Vacation Bible School. And so I came for VBS Sunday, and the second I walked in that door, I mean, all of you guys welcomed me, and it was funny because I've told people before, I was shown Grace, and the funny thing is, Grace is the one that was at the door, Grace Kimmett. So she was the first person that greeted me, and it was just truly amazing how welcoming everyone was.
Okay, someone else.
When I started here with Fritz, I was actually looking for another church. I was going to church in Castalia, and I needed a good Bible-believing church close to home where I couldn't always get to Castalia. And ever since I moved to Gibsonburg almost 16 years ago, for some reason this building caught my eye, just the building itself. Well, then I met Rick and Lori Carver, and they told me about this church, and so I started with Fritz. And I'd ask the Lord where I should be, in Castalia or in Gibsonburg. So I would follow his lead, and I would go back and forth. But I love my church in Castalia. I love my family there. I love my family here. Mm. Here I was looking more for more involvement is what I needed. And I found that here. I found it with the nursery, with helping baking, with helping in any way I could. And even though over the last couple years, things have kind of been a little slower for me getting involved with my family and that at home, I totally know I have family here, especially with Val. When she first gave me that devotional she gave me years ago, and with Grace coming to my house and welcoming me in, and just everybody here, the support they've showed me, since my husband, since my son, my daughter, I know this is just my family, and everybody supports me in every way possible, and the Lord just led me here, and I feel, and I mean, I know that's why, mm-hmm. And I've learned so much, and you coming, Max, it didn't make me leave because I knew I still had a good Bible-believing church, a minister that was going to preach from the Bible, mm-hmm. and preach what I needed to hear. And so this is just my family here.
Yeah, praise God. Someone else. How has God met you, John?
I first started coming to this church because my wife told me to come to this church. Well, I was new to this whole town, and I just wasn't very familiar with anything, but have experienced a lot in this church. I was married in this church. I actually became a member of this church before I was married in this church. And I continue to come to this church because I'm always fed here. Mm. The message feed, I feel like I'm spiritually being fed. I talked to Pastor Fritz 2 days ago. He wanted me to tell everybody hi. And along the way, you know, of getting spiritually fed, I've met some friends in this church. And I appreciate that.
How else? Alyssa, you want to come up? Irv, while Alyssa is coming forward.
Well, you've heard from somebody that's been here a short time. Now I gotta, I'll tell you, I've been here since I was 4 years old. Yeah. I've been coming to this church for 81 years. And I think I didn't learn any more important message all through the years than I learned in the first few days. First few years here at Trinity Church with Mrs. Foster. Our class was where the cloakroom is now, just outside this door. Mm-hmm. And we always had a little reading and we'd give an offering, and we learned such important things that carry over into our lives. Amen. You learn when you're a kid the way you're supposed to behave and the way you're supposed to love God.
Amen.
And you say, I do, but I, then you grow up and you, other things get in the way. I know I got in the Army and I lived a different life. Right. And I'm ashamed of that, but it's behind me now.
Amen.
And I just, this church has meant so much to me. Yep. In my thought life and in my prayer life, It's always been Trinity.
Amen.
And I thank you for all of you who are here. It's been a wonderful church, and I give you thanks for it. And you're carrying on well. And I recognize that we're faced with a big decision now. And Lord, I hope it's the right one for everyone. Thank you.
Right. Well, thank you. Why don't you share about your nephew?
About what?
About Bob, your nephew.
My nephew?
Yeah. I still remember that day, Irv, where we were in a worship service and you pointed right up there.
Yes.
Share that. What God did. Because this is what it's all about. It's about praising God for what he did. So if you would share that.
Yeah. Bob was my brother Albert. My brother Albert is the oldest of 8 kids. When we started coming in 1936, he was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. But I guess you didn't need a driver's license when you were that. Anyway, he brought us to church. And what, Dad never came to church unless it was a funeral or something, or a wedding. Okay. But my nephew Bob, he was one of the oldest grandchild of my parents. And well, second oldest, actually. But he was brought up in this church, just mm-hmm. as I was. And we used to, every year, we'd have evangelistic. Mm-hmm. It always lasts a week. And like it'd start on Sunday night, and then there'd be church services every night through the week. And it was at one of those services, I couldn't say which one, where they had an altar call, and, right. and Bob came up. And it was, right, like you said, yeah. The altar rail was different then. This is a new one. But he did it right over there. Yeah. He committed his life to Christ, and he became a United Methodist minister. Yeah. Back in those days where we would have been EUBs, when we started here, this was the Evangelical Church, mm-hmm. headquartered in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Yeah. And our church conference is always held at Linwood Park I don't know, what's the name of the town? Down towards Cleveland. Anyway, Bob, he went to seminary. Yep. He went to seminary and he got a church at Rio Grande. Bob Evans used to help support that church. I'm talking about Bob Evans, the guy that has the restaurant change. And so my brother came to Christ, or my brother, he was a guy that tried to talk him into being a minister, but he wanted to be a farmer, and he had his wish. He got to be a farmer, but he had two sons, and now Bob is retired, and he's living in Findlay. And I talked to him this week, and he said he had preached last Sunday. Now, he hasn't made it a habit to, as a retired preacher, to be preaching all the time, but he had preached last Sunday. And it's been a lifetime of service to God and Amen. To Christ. Amen. And I give thanks for that. He is one of the sons of this church.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right, I'm not much of a talker, but I've been here about 2-3 years, and my parents are divorced, and I started, coming here every other weekend on Sunday, and just that welcoming, everybody, hey, how are you? Good. I was raised as a Catholic, and that's not shown. It's very stern, strict, you obey this rule. There was not much of I love yous, nothing like that. And, you come here and you feel loved, or, surgery's happened, and everyone's here to support each other. Mm-hmm. And I think coming here and being welcomed like that, I think, I recently moved in with my dad, and I'm a lot happier. And I think he wanted me to go to this church because we're welcoming, loving, supportive. And I think he really wanted to show me that there are people out there like that. And it's okay to express your feelings and support each other. And it's okay to say I love you or acknowledge someone's presence.
Someone else. How have you met God here at Trinity? Great.
Yeah, so like many of you, I was mostly raised in this church, and in high school I left this church. And going into college, and luckily God brought me back to this church, and I found my way back, but I think of the Sunday school that I was at with Pam and Deb. I think of the outreach programs that we had, Impact, FCA group that was all run with Trinity people. I think of all the different activities and missions that we did and so forth. And when I left the church, I didn't realize how much of an impact that had made on me. How much of an impact that one outreach that you do when you're 11, 12, 13 years old can impact you 10 years later. I didn't realize that. And each one of us are here, whether it's been for a day or a week or a year or 70, 80, 90 years, God has used this church, the programs in this church, the teachers of this church, the pastors, as a means to bring us to Him. Amen. So it's incredible to see the supernatural work that God is doing inside of us through the means of this little church in the small 2,500 population town of Gibsonburg, Ohio. So yeah, I don't have a big salvation experience moment, but just the intense, constant traction of Trinity in my life, the importance of Trinity in my life has brought me to a relationship with God that I'm hopefully will continue growing in, but it's just amazing. So.
Amen. One or two more. How have you met God here at Trinity?
I'd have to say, well, you guys all know our story. We met our kids here and everything, but personally, above that, for me, is that my burning desire for ministry got reignited in this church. I had worked with youth at a previous church, and some bad things happened there, and I turned away from God for a while, and then he brought us back here, and it was an awakening moment to where God put that burning desire back into me to reach out to youth, to help the youth, especially, as you guys know, our junior hires. They're an awesome group of kids, and it's not something that really ever left me. Our lesson today was about digging a hole and not wanting to take accountability for what God had given you. And that's what I was doing before I came here. I dug a hole and I put my ministry in a hole and I left it there for a long time. Coming back here, I just got that burning desire back to reach out to youth and to help youth and just to let them know that there is a place for them to go. And for whatever reason, God put that in my heart. And I'm glad that he did, because it is when you know what you're supposed to do, when you know that your purpose has been reignited in what God wants you to do, it's an all-consuming desire in you, and it's not something that you can really walk away from and never be happy. And so that's what God has brought to me. He brought that desire back in me. He gave me an awesome co-teacher and an awesome group of kids, and I'm just looking more and more toward the future as to what God is going to do with our little group. We might be little now, but we're going to be, bigger in the future, because God's going to honor everything that we're putting into place with them. But I'd have to say that is one of my other moments here at Trinity. Obviously, my children and my husband are my biggest ones, but above and beyond that would be the reignition of a ministry that not only has a place and a purpose, but there's a need for it, and it's something that God has put in place to reach out to our area. That would
Amen.
Be.
Amen. Good. Thank you. Well, Gina. Okay.
I promise to stop it. Mine isn't. It's here, but it's actually out of the country where I met God, and I was born again in 1992, but through this church, several of people here, we went to Mexico. I had my son Nicholas baptized at Zion Church, but I got to see something really beautiful when he chose to be baptized down there in Zihuatanejo.
Amen.
There was a whole lot of there was a whole lot of experiences that we had, and you read my mind, I know it. Dina, I don't know what happened to that woman, but it was amazing grace to see what she was doing. So through this church, I witnessed something many miles away, and it was God. It was all God. But I have to say my most touching moment was when my son got baptized, and Amen. I remember saying to you and to Pastor John and the other ministers down there, and don't take this wrong, I wish his dad would have been here to see this, because it was beautiful, and it was all God.
Yeah, amen, amen.
Me and Tyler, we started coming here to Trinity a few years back. When we started dating, we both decided we wanted to try and find a church together. We actually went to a few different ones. We started at Grace in Fremont. We decided, this isn't us. It's too big. We want something more personal where we can get to know the people and you know, somewhere we can get married and raise a family. We went to one in Lindsay, and it was not our thing. And we decided we were going to come here. And the first day that we came, it was just so, like, people just came to us, and they gave us hugs. And we're like, oh, okay, we're hugging. And, I mean, since that first day, it was like coming home. And, you know, we became members here. We got married here. We're actually growing our family by one. So, you know, as it kind of became attached to the church, and I was like, we're going to be married here. Our kids are going to be baptized here. We're going to raise our family here. But, and I was really, I grieved when we found out that we were going to be going to faith. But I really thought about it and prayed on it, and I realized that it's you guys that make this church. And as long as we're all together and we stay together, then it doesn't matter where we are, because it's going to be the same, because we have each other. So if it's here or down at faith, it's going to be in God. So.
Yep. What do you have?
I was born and came to this church until I became an adult. God always seemed to be here, even when mom and dad and the rest of the church, we had to do a Christmas show when we were kids and had to learn parts. But over the time, got to know God. I went away from here for years. I'm back now because time changes. I'm back in Gibsonburg. I spent 30 years in the military because of what I learned in this church. Mm-hmm. I was able to go through the hardships of being away from everybody I cared about, everybody I loved. I didn't plan on what I was going to do with my life, but God had a plan that I didn't know about. I had planned to be a missionary, but God found out or showed me that I need to be in the military for 30 years. I got to build the schools that I planned to do as a missionary. I got to build wells in places where they had no running water because of God. But he was in this church. The church has changed a little bit, but the feeling in this church has never changed in all my life. I've been gone for so long. It's not any different now than it was then. There's love in this church. In the people like Nella Willison, Bernice Conrad, my family, and I'm talking about my aunts and uncles because they all were here too. It was just like another family day whenever I came to church. God's been here, and he's loved this church, and he loves the people here regardless of where we worship at. We can worship anywhere, and God will be with us as long as we keep him in our hearts.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Dwight. Shakespeare puts it this way. He says, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely play a part. They all have their existence, their entrances and exits, and one person in their time plays many parts. It's important that we understand that what we've shared here this morning, that the impact that God has had upon all of us. But it's very important that, as I could attest, different God moments that has happened to me since I've been here, I could also go to other locations in Ohio and around the world where I've had God moments as well. The challenge is this, friends, is that we must let God write the script. That's the hardest thing for me to do. I'll be the first to tell anybody that. You know, I had a pretty cool life. I could buy whatever I wanted to buy and the material things, and then I jokingly say, then God showed up and he messed it all up. But it's God's script. It's not ours. You see, Cain and Abel, you have the story of two different scripts. You have Cain writing his own script, and you have Abel writing God's script and allowing God to write his script and then abiding by that. Now, I'm not here to tell you that, you know, what we're facing is going to be easy. There's a lot of things I can't relate to. That's not what this was all about. To be honest with you, it was about allowing us to understand that it's God's plan, it's God's script, and we have a responsibility and an opportunity to follow along, or we can be like Cain. Part of my plan wasn't to wait till I was 46 to be married, okay? Newsflash for all of you. Okay, I'm totally serious. Don't think that I didn't go through difficult days and times of being angry at God, because I did. Part of my script wasn't to not have biological kids, and, you know, part of my script was to have kids. Newsflash. There ain't no kids happening with Kathy and me. The key word is biological, okay? That's the key word right there. You know, you read scriptures, and you read the scriptures about, you know, a bunch of kids are a blessing and all this and everything, and I get that. But that's the tension that we all have in our life. We all want to write the script the way that we want it written, but we must do our part and allow God to write the script and follow along. And when that happens, friends, that's when we will encounter God in a mighty, mighty way. Because then our hearts are right. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are, you know, engaging to the risen Christ. Our hearts are, you know, reaching forward to the Lord and saying, as Jesus did, today we're going to partake in communion. And you're really not going to get message. I could go on. I think we've heard a message already. You know, how we know that Cain wanted to write his own script was when God rebuked him, he went away angry. His heart wasn't right. Abel, he took an offering. And you know, just as Jesus, we look up at that cross. Jesus, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's crucified, and he is sweating, drops of blood are coming off of his brow, and he's praying, and his disciples are abandoning him, and they're falling asleep, and they're not staying with him. And yet Jesus says, hey, Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me. I think we all feel that way from time to time. We don't want to go through what God brings it to us, and we don't want to deal with what God allows us to have to deal with. But friends, it's God who writes the script, not us. Now, I'm not going to tell you it makes it any easier, because Jesus, I can't even relate to what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he got to the point where he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That, my friends, is allowing God to write the script. Because I could go into a whole theological discussion that I personally believe that what Jesus was facing was eternal separation from a holy God. Because he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. And so he knew what was at stake. And that was a total separation from God his Father. And he knew that it was God's script. He knew that it wasn't his script that he was writing. He was here to lay down his life. He was here to lay his life down, to give his life up, to be crucified, to allow the nails to be nailed through his hands and feet, and to be strung up on a tree. Because that was God's script. You see, we all play a part. But it's God who writes the script. This morning, we are going to partake in Holy Communion. And I got 2 points I could go on, but we're not. The challenge before us is this. We want to write our own script. I could tell you more about my life, But I will know one thing, and I will tell you this. The one thing that I know is the times when I allow God to write the script and I follow, there is more blessing in it than is if the times when I write it and do my own thing. Doesn't make it easier, friends. Makes it sometimes more difficult. You see, you have Abel allowing God to write the script. He brings an offering. It's accepted. You have Cain. He's saying, I'm going to do this. And God doesn't accept it. And then God calls him on it. And it's about our heart, friends, because Cain got angry. His heart was not right, and because he wanted things his way, and it doesn't make it easy. I get that. But we have to allow the Lord, Jesus Christ, to write the script that he wants for his glory, for his kingdom's sake, not for us, O Lord, not for us, O Lord, but for you, O Christ, may it be done. May we, as we meet around the Lord's table, have that same heart that led Jesus to lay down his life, to allow his body to be broken, to allow his blood to be shed. May our hearts resonate with his. And may we remember that it's God the Father, it's his plan and not ours. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to hear about how you have here in Trinity. Father, we rejoice with you for what you've done, but we anticipate so much more to come from this building, from this place. And so, Lord, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, for Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Creator God. We thank you for Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, for his heart and his willingness to lay down his life and to allow you to allow your plan to unfold. We thank you for the bread and the cup. We thank you for these elements, these sacraments, whatever we want to call them. We thank you, O Lord, for them. We pray that you would bless them, you would anoint them. But Jesus, we admit we need your help. We need your help, O Lord. We need your help to mend our hurting hearts. We need your help, O Lord, to allow us to grow and to allow you to allow your plan to unfold. Whatever that means, however that looks, Father, may we yearn as Abel did, to allow you to write the plan for our life, for Trinity's life. May you be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. In the wonderful name of the risen Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen. As we conclude this time of praise and worship, would you please stand and may we all join together in singing, I Surrender All. It's all about surrender. Surrender is a difficult thing to do, but yet it's what God calls us all to do. If you're here today and if you find yourself outside of a relationship with Jesus and you need to surrender your heart today, may you come and see me afterwards. If you're here today and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've gone wayward, come talk with me. I would love to speak with you. And may God find us all faithful and obedient in surrendering our hearts, our souls, and our minds unto him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And may his blessings flow ever freely over your life and mine. May the blessings of love, peace, and joy fill your heart. May you and I depart in peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go in peace. Amen.